right, everybody. Terrence Pop here with another episode of Life in the Lair. And I have been predicting this since roughly 2019-ish. How the Department of Defense, the United States military, is going to run out of recruits. And the policies that they put in place are absolutely gutting and devastating our military. All right, so let me set the stage here. Prior to my medical retirement in 2018, I spent roughly 11 years in the civil affairs community and worked as an intel analyst, did a little bit of psyops there too. And, you know, it's kind of difficult because I made the transition from, you know, being basically a spec op guy, paratrooper, ranger, Green Beret kind of guy. And then I got put in civil affairs. And it was just a huge change. And the biggest change was that I had to serve alongside women. And I had heard stories in regards to, you know, co-ed units and the fucking problems and nightmares, the whole thing ensues. But I didn't really believe it, or at best, I took it with a grain of salt. Now, while I was there, and this happened at the 414 Civil Affairs Battalion and the 403 Civil Affairs Battalion. 403 wasn't quite as bad as the 414, but I had an absolute fucking nightmare with the majority of the female soldiers I had to deal with. I heard about I had to deal with gangbangs taking place in the hotel where all the soldiers were staying. Women, they're always pregnant, or they can't pass PT, or height and weight. And I would literally follow the regulations, and, you know, I would do the separation packets and send them up to KPOC, and they literally, nothing happened. But when I did the same thing for male soldiers, they were gone inside 90 to 120 days tops. That was causing a lot of problems, at least with me, because that was radically unfair in my opinion. Now, another thing, and I lost a lot of good soldiers over this. When I got called into basically the AGR status with the Army Reserves, and I was standing up the 414 Civil Affairs Battalion. And I'd recruited into that battalion roughly 38 to 45 people from other units inside the Michigan system. Because I knew all kinds of guys who had been in 15, 18 years who were still E6s. So a couple of them were E5s. And I was able to bring them in and get them promoted to 7. And from there, you know, we wound up getting pretty much a full boat of individuals. And then I got a female commander, Dina, who literally propped herself up by tearing apart everyone around her. And out of that 38 people that I had recruited into the unit, she had chased out almost two-thirds of them. Now, the people I recruited in were all former paratroopers, infantry grunts, who had a minimum of one. Some of them had like three or four deployments under their belt. They knew all about combat, and she just ran them out. And quite literally, it's probably one of the main reasons the 414 Civil Affairs deactivated a couple of years back. They just never recovered from losing that many people. And it didn't, you know, the 30-pound brains at the top couldn't justify the expense of keeping an understaffed unit there, and they just shut it down. I'm retired, so that's ancient history. But I did watch several of these female soldiers who didn't, you know, pass a lot of the standards that they needed to pass. Or if they did, they just barely passed. And they were getting promoted over guys that had 2 and 3 deployments under their belt. You know, who came close to maxing PT, maxed their rifle, you know, maxed their awards. I mean, everything was a go max. And they literally, you know, just say, hey, Sergeant Pop, this is bullshit, I'm out. So I can only imagine how bad it is now with all of this woke bullshit that's seeped into the military. I mean, quite frankly, I know I've got a lot of soldiers who contact me and talk about, you know, the suicide stand downs, which aren't that many anymore because it's not a big, it's not the go-to thing. Now it's critical race theory and other various, you know, policies in regards to trans and homosexuals and what have you. Now, in my professional opinion, a trans person has no business being in the military. They're not deployable. They're heavily dependent upon drugs that their body does not produce on its own. And they're quite literally nothing but a liability. And those are the facts on the ground. When you look at it, you know, in a dollar cost average, the whole thing. So I can just imagine a lot of these grunts going, what the fuck? This is insane. I'm going to get killed if we go to war because these guys are idiots. I mean, quite literally, they're promoting people to be in charge of, you know, infantry battalions and companies, divisions, what have you, brigade combat, you know, combined arms teams. A lot of these commanders are female. All right, now I've had a lot of run-ins with female commanders, and I can tell you, you know, most of them were mediocre to incompetent. Only a small percentage were actually any good. Okay, and they're very rare. So I can imagine, you know, having these soldiers have to deal with all this craziness. All of this fucking bullshit classes, all right? And then they lose the 20-year retirement because it's a 401k now. Well, how much money do you think an E4 is going to be able to put away, or an E5 or E6? They don't get paid a lot of money, okay? Yeah, and the TSB is supposed to match what you put in. But I'm telling you, 20 years, you are not going to be able to put enough away on that 401k to retire on. So why the fuck are these people coming in? There's no retirement for them. And I'm hearing reports of soldiers paying for their own food and housing. Some of them are buying their own fucking uniforms. You know, and that's like not your initial issue, which when I came in, you got your initial issue just given to you. And you received a clothing allowance to maintain that stuff, you know, wear and tear moving forward. All right, now you got all that craziness going on, right? And then you have the mandates coming down from the man, the guy who won at the ice cream social, you know, the dictator in chief. And this is nothing new. It's not like the military hasn't treated its soldiers like guinea pigs, because there's a history of it. So let me get here and show you what this is here. Okay, so let's go here. All right, now this, the pin, this is from IBW21.org, Institute of the Black World, 21st century, whatever. Okay, the Pentagon admitted to using black soldiers as human guinea pigs in World War II. All right, and this really revolved around a couple of nerve agents, and then you heard about the syphilis tests that they put these guys through. All right, and now they intentionally infected them with syphilis and then didn't say shit about it, and tracked these soldiers once they went into civilian world to see how many of them got fucked up by the syphilis they didn't even know they were exposed to. Okay, and that has got some egregious fucking side effects. Being insanity, being at the top of the list, and that particular pathogen attacks other portions of the body like tuberculosis. All right, so it could literally, you know, dissolve your bones, fuck your nervous system up, you know, destroy organs, you know, just like tuberculosis. And in my opinion, that's unforgivable. And there needs to be some laws put on the books and some accountability, because if you're going to rely on a volunteer force, they should at least have the right to not be treated like a motherfucking guinea pig. All right, here's another one. All right, here's another one now. Again, this is from 1942 to 1975. And the Army built a gas chamber to advance clinical research. The chamber, an upgrade from an earlier model, occupied at the corner of the building, 326, and also housed the officers' club. The structure's walls, made of brick, gave it a vault-like appearance. The doors airtight, blah, blah, blah. And, sir, let's see, it had a warship portable, a porthole window. The chamber was perfect cube, 9x9. It had its own light source. And quite literally, it was used as a gas chamber for human tests. All right, so they were testing mustard gas, nerve gas, all kinds of other fucked up shit. And then down the road, they quite literally, you know, and denied their health care. So they used these soldiers as fucking guinea pigs. Fucked their lives up to three ways to Sunday. And then just go, yep, sorry, that didn't happen on service. It's not service connected. Or you volunteered, so, okay. And a lot of times, they aren't volunteered. You're voluntold. And most of the soldiers are below the age of 24, very impressionable, and they pretty much do what they're told for the most part. And quite frankly, this is reprehensible. And this article was from 2015. So we already know there is a precedent set for our government to use our military personnel as fucking guinea pigs. All right. Nothing has changed. Now, here we go. Now, I'm probably going to get some flack here. I'm just reading the headlines. And you guys can read between the lines and add in your own narration and your own evil pop meat, thinking meat thing you have going on. All right. This is from Newsweek. COVID deaths in U.S. military spike in the last 4 months, despite 96% receiving the poke and smoke. And this was dated January 10th, 2022. All right. DOD, and this is from military.com. DOD confirms rare heart inflammation cases linked to the poke and smoke. All right, they're going through all of the studies, what have you. I can't really go into detail here because, you know, YouTube will throw a fit in. I'm just going to read the headlines and you guys can figure it out. All right, now this is the big whistleblower here that basically got his hands on the DOD database and just showed how fucking crazy things have gotten in regards to the poke and smoke. All right, again, just reading the headlines here. This is newsresource.com. All right, and next we have, and I've been talking this for a while here. All right, this guy is Seth Harp Esquire. And he's saying 82 soldiers died at Fort Bragg in 18 months ending in 2021. Okay. Fort Bragg normally can't go 82 days without killing a motherfucker anyway. But in this here, he says 83 soldiers died on Fort Bragg. Only 11 of those are from natural causes. And it's not being talked about or announced at all. They are keeping a lid on this very heavily. Now, if this is also happening at Bragg, it's happening at other military posts as well. All right. And there's basically Fort Bragg soldiers have been turning up unresponsive in their barracks on a disturbingly regular basis beginning of 2020. All right. I can't go into detail here. But is there any surprise people are not, you know, coming forward to be the guinea pig? All right. Being told they have to take this shit. Is there any surprise? All right, now here are the packets. You know, when a soldier passes away, there's a packet of paperwork that needs to be prepared. And it actually moves through the system, takes care of death benefits, moving the remains, setting up the funeral detail, getting all the other benefits lined up for any beneficiaries. It's a long, fucked up process. All right? And he's showing in this tweet here, the actual top sheets from these packets. All right, so there's paperwork being generated out there on this. They're not going to be able to hide that forever. And on top of that, all of these soldiers are getting life insurance payouts. So you're going to see those numbers, and a lot of these life insurance companies, you know, when they report earnings and what have you. All right, it's going to come out. All right. Now, right now, you know, they're keeping it pretty quiet. But look, they're getting so goddamn desperate. They've literally dropped the requirement for a high school diploma. That I can't say I've never seen that. That existed when I first came into the Army in 1986. Okay. Now, back in the day, there was like 5 or 6 guys who are in my basic training company who were go in the Army and go to jail recruits. I even had 2 guys who couldn't fucking read. All right. And then once I came in, I saw the Army continually raise their standards to, you know, in my opinion, a little too high. And now they're paying the price because we have a generation of young people out there who literally sit behind the Xbox from probably 6 years of age until they graduate high school. They are physically and mentally not prepared for the rigors of war and the military service. We're getting a lot of injuries from these young recruits that I can't even imagine, like broken hips and hip sockets and so forth, spiral fractures, and all they're doing is road marching. All right, back when I first came in, for you to get a spiral fracture in one of your legs, you had to like basically jump out of an airplane and land on concrete, or have two or three panels blown out of your chute, so you hit the ground abnormally hard. Now, this is happening to people just walking with 40 pounds on their back. Let that sink in. That is bad. All right, U.S. Army facing increasing recruitment struggles. They're calling it the most challenging recruiting year ever. It's not going to get better. All right. In my opinion, unless there is a major event taking place in the world, it's going to continue to be shit. It's going to take 3 or 4 years like this, and they're going to have to start the draft again because they're going to run out of people. Now, here's another story that's going to come out and down the road. There has been a unprecedented amount of individuals in the military who have dropped their retirement paperwork. So what that means, and these people are still under the old system, you get to 20 years and a day. You fill out a retirement packet. You go up to your PAC, drop it off. They send it to your commander for signatures. It gets signed all the way up, goes to Department of Army. They tabulate your time, 20 years and a day, you're done. You're taking, you're packing it in and you're taking it back to Fort Living Room. All right. Now there, and that's happened with a lot of the officers who are at the staff level. Those are the officers that they select to be commanders down the road, and there's a lot of experience in that pool. Well, all of that experience is now walking out the door. So we spent like 2 decades at war. We paid a lot of dividends in blood, pain, arms and legs, and death. And all of those lessons are going to be forgotten because all that experience, out the door. All right, now, if you're a soldier on active duty, I would highly advise for you to start writing letters to your senator, your congressman, all right? If you have a commanding officer who's making crazy demands of you, file an IG complaint for undue command influence. In fact, I'm going to be putting together, you know, a short class webinar for the military people out there, administrative violence, military edition. It's got to happen. It's not going to be, you know, 5 hours long like the last one. Probably like an hour or two because it's military and things aren't, you know, as crazy as they are in the real world. But I just want to get that out there. If you guys want to see that, let me know in the comments so I can get started on it. But here's the thing that really bothers me. Is I spent a lot of time in the Army. And I wanted to leave the Army better than I found it. And I wasn't able to do so. The powers that be, they just wanted this craziness to continue. And it looks like it will.